This is the time set for oral argument for the Southern Panel. Our first case today is number 77872, City of Las Vegas versus District Court, Real Party in Interest, Branscom. Ready to proceed, counsel? All right, go ahead.
I'm Okay. Good morning, Justices. May it please the Court. Carlene Halpert, appearing for the petitioner, City of Las Vegas. This Court has carefully distinguished a lack of access to evidence into three separate categories: failure to collect, failure to preserve, and failure to disclose. Each category has a unique test to be applied based upon whether or not the evidence was gathered, maintained, or provided. Only by improperly overlapping these categories and combining separate tests was the respondent able to find that, one, the Chevy's black box was material, and two, that Trooper Lynn acted with gross negligence when he failed to gather it. In this matter, it is clear that the Nevada Highway Patrol never came into possession of the Chevy's black box. This is a failure to collect evidence claim, and it should be analyzed under Daniels versus State.
Counsel, why should we entertain this writ of certiorari? I'm not aware of conflicts in other decisions in lower courts. You didn't articulate any that I could see in the petition. And the grounds under which we would consider this discretionary writ require us to take a look at those kinds of issues, as well as the importance of constitutional questions. So I'm not sure what it is about this case warrants our review of a district court's appellate jurisdiction in a municipal court case.
Well, it is obviously within your discretion to entertain the petition. Again, I think the respondent kind of noted that there would be a difference among judges because he said so. He said, I'm sure there would be a difference of opinion among these judges.
Well, with all due respect to counsel, we're looking at which judge, what district, and what was the different ruling. Nobody's articulated that to us.
Right. And I
assuming that there is a different ruling or a different standard.
Well, we are bringing this writ on two grounds. Again, the difference of statewide opinion and
So where's this difference in statewide opinion? Is somebody in Reno interpreting this differently than Judge Baer did in Clark County? Or where's the difference in statewide opinion that you're aware of?
It's mostly, and I recognize that the district court acts in the appellate capacity for the municipal court.
Yeah.
Those two judges had a very basic disagreement on the factors to be considered and the standard of review to be applied. Again,
any other judicial decision, appellate decision by a district court judge?
No, Judge.
Application of the gather, preserve, or disclose standard is treated differently?
Not that I'm fully aware of, Your Honor.
Okay. Again. All right. So for what other reason should we consider entertaining this discretionary writ?
Well, again, as set forth in your writ, I think that this court would be best served if you could, articulate the facts a reviewing court should focus on in determining what is material, and articulate the facts a reviewing court should focus on when what is negligence, gross negligence, and in bad faith. Because I do not believe that this court has identified what is gross negligence or what is simple negligence within this context.
So what you're seeking is, as you know, in Daniels, that court, our court, recognized Ware out of New Mexico and set up these factors to assess the evidence gathering, maybe even preservation issues. Your issue here is we should articulate some opinion on the difference between negligence, gross negligence, and bad faith?
Yes, I think that was not done. The court did adopt Ware in its generality, but it did not articulate that gross negligence would be acting to police procedure, which is what Ware set out. This court never articulated, nor did it articulate what is simple negligence. nor was it articulated what a reviewing court should focus on with respect to materiality. It did use the term reasonable probability of a different result, which, in my opinion, lends credence to whether or not the evidence, you know, could disprove or prove guilt, considering all the other evidence.
I don't mean to badger you with this point,
no.
But if we do an opinion in this case, what I'm trying to understand is, what would the opinion say as to the reason why we entertained a discretionary writ of certiorari? And so, in the absence of any information in the record that there actually exists conflicts between district courts in exercising their appellate jurisdiction, your assertion now is that we should entertain the writ to clarify the second factor of the Ware case adopted in Daniels. Is that it?
Yes, Judge. I think it would be an issue of first impression because this court has never found that law enforcement has acted with gross negligence.
Okay. Is there any other reason we should entertain the writ that you'd put in that opinion?
I think that Judge Bear acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner as well by essentially blending a failure to collect a Brady evidence and a failure to preserve and sort of morphing it.
I've taken up a lot of your time. Go ahead with the merits of your argument.
But I do think that, and I appreciate the question, Justice, I think that, again, first, there needs to be some clarification on the fact that these are two separate and distinct prongs. Again, looking at materiality, this is whether or not the evidence tends to prove or disprove guilt. And it should not, focus on the trooper's conduct or culpability at that point. That's what the court should look at, is whether or not this evidence tends to help the case.
Well, how is Judge Bear arbitrary and capricious when you have William Redfern, who was the preeminent fatal detail at Metro for 25 years, gone to Northwestern versus the other place that he was saying, and he comes up with, he can't even make a calculation because of the fact that when you have multi-cars, you can't sequence them without that one, I don't want to say the wrong word, but the black box from the other car. Well, he was fatal with Metro.
He was. However, Trooper Lynn was also served 7 years on the fatal detail with NHP and was a trooper for 10 years as well. Again, I think that he's equally qualified. And again,
that's true. But my question is, how is Judge Bear arbitrary and capricious when he looks at that and in his order he says that it's gross negligence based on what he reads?
I think he's arbitrary and capricious for two reasons. First off, the materiality. Judge Bear was not able to articulate how the black box would have a tendency to reasonably probability change the outcome of the result of the trial. He just makes this speculative statement. He says maybe it could corroborate this testimony. And this is done while acknowledging that Mr. Redfern says, hey, I don't know if the black box, recorded anything. If it did, I don't know what it would say. And to that extent, I don't know if it would even change my opinion. It's pure speculation that it recorded. It's pure speculation that would help the defendant's case. And speculation is not exculpation.
But counsel, and we'll never know because it wasn't gathered.
Yes,
right?
But I think that any moving party can make a showing of, reasonable facts as to what it would show.
Well, let me ask you, you say no Nevada court has held or has found gross negligence on whatever facts were presented in those particular cases. How would you have us define gross negligence in this context?
I think that it should say that it's acting contrary to established police procedures. I think that that's a sort of bright line rule to start from. And if you're acting within procedures, then it's simple negligence at worst. If you're acting contrary, then that would be a gross negligence analysis. To the extent that there's not a procedure in place, I think that you need to look to the totality of the investigation. And again, in this case, this is the only flaw that they can point to. And again, Trooper Lynn was able to make this determination. And the reason that he did not gather the black box was because he did not believe it had any significant evidentiary value.
Well, I mean, he didn't gather the black boxes initially from any car, correct? It was weeks later that he decided to, or there was a decision made to collect back black boxes from two of the cars, not three. It wasn't an on-the-scene collection of black boxes. It was later.
That's correct.
So at that time, I think even the trooper suggested that, yeah, it might be good to know what's on the third box, but I didn't get it.
I think that that's incorrect, Your Honor. I believe what happened, and again, is this is on the US 95 at Las Vegas Boulevard. they secure the scene, and so he's testified he cannot retrieve the black box on scene. They have to essentially move the cars to the tow yard. He did not have the specific cord that could retrieve the Mazda's black box at that point, and they did not have the software that could retrieve Mr. Branscombe's black box at that point. He retrieves the Mazda black box, and it shows him, hey, this car slowed to a stop before it was hit from behind by Mr. Branscombe at 60 to 72 miles an hour, thereby causing all the sequence of collisions.
I was just curious, why didn't you, Erica Papp, the owner of the Mazda, testify? Why, the one whose passenger was killed?
She's out of state, Your Honor.
She's out of state?
Yes.
So you just chose not to bring her in? What does that mean, she's out of state?
My understanding is that we were not able to serve her because she relocated to California.
Okay, the district attorney's office can bring in out-of-state witnesses every day of the week, hundreds. You're telling me the city attorney's office just doesn't bring in out-of-state witnesses on a vehicular manslaughter case?
I'm saying that we felt that we had the ability to prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt, which we did, and we did not have the resources to bring in that driver.
Counsel, what do you do with the finding made by the judge, number 7, about the testimony from Jennifer Jimenez to the effect that the vehicle collision occurred consistent with what was being argued by the defendant in this case, that vehicle I may get these wrong, but the Chevy was hit the vehicle in front of it before the truck driven by Branscombe hit the vehicle in the middle. Wouldn't that evidence and that information provide a basis for the officer to go secure the black box out of the Chevy?
Again, with respect to Ms. Menace's testimony, it is undisputed that she did not tell the trooper that on the day of the scene. That only came out 2 years later at trial, that anybody other than Ms. Jimenez said that the Mazda hit the Chevy first.
Was a statement taken from her, or was this just...
It was.
And she didn't include that in her statement?
She did not articulate that at all, no.
I see.
Your Honor.
Okay.
So there was no apparent exculpatory information available on scene.
Oh, I see. And then another thing I wanted to clarify, maybe I misunderstood it from reading your petition, but wasn't there a question about the age of the Chevy's black box and that it may not be able to demonstrate whether the car had been hit from behind?
Yes, Your Honor.
Could you go into that a little
bit? Yes, absolutely. Again, essentially what was testified to by the defense expert is that the black boxes are centuries apart, and the Mazda that recorded that Trooper Lynn corrected is the newer technology by almost 10 years. And according to Mr. Redfern, they're centuries apart in their ability to collect information. And so the Mazda's black box really should have been the one to collect the impact with the Chevy, but it did not. So it's highly, highly unlikely the Chevy impacted. And to give an analysis, you know, it's a 2007 Chevy. So back then, you know, that's just when iPhones were out. Everybody else had a flip phone, whereas we're at a 2016 Mazda. And so that's the difference in technology that we're talking about with the black boxes.
Was there any information provided to the trial judge about the difference in that technology, or to the appellate judge about the difference in that technology? Could you go into that?
Yes, it was provided to both. Again, it was testified to by Mr. Redfern that the technologies would be centuries apart between a 10-year vehicle.
Did anybody tell the appellate judge that the black box in the Chevy could not record a rear-end collision?
It's not that it couldn't record necessarily, it's that it almost certainly would not have because of the technological difference. And yes, I did set forth that in my brief as a point.
This is an important point. I want you and Mr. Gentile to also comment about. So your argument would appear to be that Lynn would not have had an obligation to gather the black box out of the Chevy because doing so would be akin to the Weir case and the Daniels case in the collection of blood evidence. If the blood evidence isn't going to really demonstrate anything in Daniels, then there's nothing material about the evidence. So in this instance, given the age of the black box and its inability to record a rear-end collision, then it isn't going to really tell anybody material about this accident. Is that your argument?
That's absolutely true. And I don't think that even if it could report it, like, that it has the ability to establish the sequence of collisions. Not a single witness testified that it could do that.
So could you help me, point me to the record where that information was conveyed to the trial judge and to Judge Baer?
The centuries apart?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I would be happy to do that during rebuttal as I see that.
Well, you can leave it with the clerk. Just give the record cites to the clerk if you don't mind.
I'll be happy to do that, Judge.
Okay, thank you. You've eaten up your time. I'll give you 2 minutes in rebuttal, and Mr. Gentile will have 17 minutes
Thank
for his
you,
argument.
Justice.
If it pleases the court, I'm prepared to answer questions because I don't know why I'm here. She's asking for an advisory opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There is no split, and if there was, why wasn't it brought to the attention of Judge Baer? The only split that exists here is the difference of opinion between Judge Baer and the trial judge. And so this is an appeal. It's maybe wearing some other kind of clothing, but this is an appeal. Judge Baer's decision, even if it's wrong, even if you think it's wrong, on a writ, that doesn't matter. What matters on a writ is, was it reasoned? And if it's well reasoned, then it clearly is. And he definitely combed the record. We had two oral arguments on this. He came up with additional questions and asked us to brief those out and come back. So a good deal of effort went into this.
So on a writ of certiorari, you see no constitutional issue being raised here?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. And
counsel has ultimately, I think, has conceded, maybe I'm overstating your position, but I take it as a concession that there's no conflict in appellate jurisdictions in the state.
No, none.
So in the absence of that, she urges the court to address the definition or the application of negligence, gross negligence, and the like. But it seems to me, under the factors in Ware that were adopted by Daniels, you don't get there until you first address whether the information is material. Judge Baer found it to be material.
Exactly. And, you know, this court has consistently held that if it determines, when you're dealing with a writ challenging a lower court's decision, if it determines that the act complained of was within the jurisdiction of the lower court judge, your inquiry stops, even if the lower court judge is wrong. And I will cite Goyechea, and I never know if I say that right. You guys from up north know how to say that.
Senator Goyechea.
Okay. Versus District Court, 96 Nevada 287. And it's been that way since 1980. There's never been a deviation from that. So what the city is seeking here, they're not happy with the result. Apparently they don't want to go back to trial. This case isn't over. It was reversed and remanded. Okay, this case, it wasn't an outright reversal. They get another crack at this. They don't want to do that, apparently. And what they're asking for is an advisory opinion. Now, there may be great value to an advisory opinion. I'm not going to suggest that there isn't, but if you do one, you're going to get a lot more requests to do more. All right? And that's just simply not the way the judiciary in Nevada under our Constitution is structured. And nowhere else, as far as I know. Certainly not in the federal system. So if you have questions, I'd be happy to address them.
I appreciate your point. I wonder if you could humor us with the question I asked, why the materiality of this. It does seem like if the black box in the Chevy is 10 years old and can't record rear-end collisions, and
nobody
I'm not sure
that
the second portion of that is accurate.
There is no testimony in this record that it can't record them. Nobody said that, not even Trooper Lynn.
Okay.
I read that. I read Red Farron's testimony, and I did not read that within his testimony.
Nobody said that. Okay.
But I do have a question to keep going with. Red Farron also did not say, he stopped short of saying that the NHB's protocol of only taking one site, he stopped a little short of saying it's gross negligence. What do you...
I didn't ask him to characterize whether it was negligence at all. All right? That's a legal conclusion. All right? And he's... You can't have a legal conclusion from an expert witness.
But I took it that Metro took it, you know, the difference between Highway Patrol's protocol is only one black box, apparently, or one site. And here you have a sequence of, you know, like five or six cars. And then you have Metro, which would have taken it from every contact.
You want to get me into the middle of a fight between Metro and NHB?
Well, that's what it there's clearly there's clearly something going on here.
No, I don't think there's any question about it. Listen, nobody's accusing, never have. The only reason we cited Youngblood was to give Judge Baer what he asked for, which was what are the different standards as between negligence, gross negligence, and bad faith. All right? And Youngblood set up the bad faith test. We've never said that there was bad faith here. What we've said is if this trooper testified truthfully, if he testified truthfully, that he would have liked to have taken this black box, okay, and then he said, but he didn't have access to it, and then we turned him around on that because he admitted that he never tried. It's exactly the fact that he knew about it, he thought about it, and he never tried to get it, which brings us to the gross negligence standard here. There are four different times that this court has dealt with that. I think the best one, certainly the one that fits here, is gross negligence is manifested by an absence of even slight diligence or want of even scant care. He made no effort, and he knew that it might have had. He even admitted, look, in his opinion, in his biased opinion, he said it was minimal. It had, you know, the evidence, the chance of it having evidence would be minimal, but he conceded that if he had gathered that evidence, he would have had to have put it into his calculus, and it may have changed his opinion. That's gross negligence. That's gross negligence. Under any standard you want to apply. It's a lot different than a guy's out there and just didn't think about it. It's a lot different than Don Trumbull. Don Trumbull worked with me after he left Metro, and he's now working for the Detroit Red Wings, by the way. And I know a lot about the Daniels case in terms of the facts. I spent years with Don. And Daniels isn't even close to this, but it is the test. It is the test. The one thing, if you are going to address the merits here, sooner or later this court has to recognize, should recognize, you don't have to do anything ever, I get that, but should recognize that the standards set out in this instance, Smith versus Cain, but with regard to materiality, you know, we talk about materiality in Daniels, and materiality means a reasonable probability of a different outcome. But that in turn means, which is why I gave Swain to Judge Baer, that it shakes the what's the standard? Confidence in the outcome. Okay, it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. So, Daniels, the way it deals with materiality, in turn, becomes undermining confidence in the outcome. And Judge Baer felt that given the fact that you had an eyewitness who said that she was hit by the Mazda first, and that there was distance between the Mazda and the truck, that means that there was at least proof in this record from an eyewitness, of which the trooper was not, that the death, according to Dr. Sims, had a greater than 50% probability of being caused by the Mazda hitting the rear end of the Chevy. And so this very well could have been outcome determinative because it would have either corroborated the eyewitness or it would have corroborated the trooper.
And the medical examiner determined or was unable to determine which collision caused the death.
He was unable to, but he said that if the Chevy was hit by the Mazda before the Mazda was hit by the truck, it was a greater than 50% probability that that's what caused it. Because the death was basically, you know what it was caused by. It was neck snap. So, again, I mean, I really do believe that you don't need to address the merits in this case because it is an appeal from Judge Baer. It's got a different title, but that's what they're seeking. They're seeking review of Judge Baer's decision on the merits. And it was a reasoned opinion, and it was not based on prejudice. And if both of those exist, they're asking for an advisory opinion. It doesn't fall within the purview of the writ. Anything else?
I don't have any further questions.
Oh, well, I'll give my time to her.
No, she gets 2 minutes. thank you for your generosity, Mr. Jen. We need to get to the next case.
Thank you, Justices.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, according to Etcheverry's state, as long as the defendant causes the sequence of collision, he is approximately liable for Mr. Leopoldo's death.
Wait, say that again?
According to Etcheverry's state, again, as long as the defendant Branscombe causes the sequence of collisions,
his argument, though, is that if that black box would have been recovered, as Red Farron had suggested in his testimony, that it's just as likely that the Mazda hit the car first with the decedent in it. If it's just as likely, how do you have an outcome, how do you have confidence in the outcome, which is what Judge Baer said?
First, Mr. Redfern didn't actually say that the black box could show the sequence of collisions. And that's the
he said he couldn't figure out the sequence because Metro would have made sure to have gotten that black box.
That's correct. I guess that would go more to the gross negligence. But in the materiality context, again, the black box needs to be able to show the sequence of collisions. That's the question in the case. And there's no evidence that it could do so.
But is there really something wrong with the fact that they're saying, how do you have confidence if you don't even know? How do you have confidence in the outcome? Isn't that what reasonable doubt is?
I think that you have to make a particularized showing as to how the evidence could help the case. And that's the real question here. How could it help? Mr. Redfern never articulates how this would help him reach an opinion, or how it would corroborate Ms. Mendez's testimony, or how it would show the sequence of collisions.
Could I ask you a question before you conclude?
Yes.
On page 6 of Judge Baer's order, he remanded this case back for a new trial because he concluded that the Highway Patrol officer's failure to obtain this evidence constituted gross negligence. And I think that's one of the issues that you take up with his order, with Judge Baer's order. If we were to entertain this case and write an opinion, how would you ask us to distinguish, in the opinion, the definition of negligence and gross negligence?
Respectfully, what I would request is that there be clarification that when determining negligence, gross negligence, and bad faith, that the reviewing court should only focus on the officer's conduct and culpability, not on any prejudice to the defendant, because should be analyzed under the materiality prong. And that's what Judge Baer focused a lot of his energy on in finding that Trooper Lynn was grossly negligent.
Well, his sentence says this. He, referring to the officer, did not exercise even slight degree of care and was grossly negligent in not doing so if he truly would have liked to have had all the data from the vehicles. And then the citation is to Hart and to Cornella. So it seems to me that his conclusion focuses on Officer Lynn's behavior.
And again, that's only one of the sentences he uses. When you read his opinion as set forth to me and Mr. Detiel, he does focus on the timeline of events. He focuses on the prejudice to Mr. Branscombe that he would not be able to retest it. He focuses a great deal on the prejudice to the defendant. And by saying that he acted in gross negligence, He essentially creates an unprecedented legal duty for a trooper to conduct a near-perfect examination and for courts to essentially second-guess officers' work, you know, years after when an argument is raised in court for the first time that was never raised at the time of the scene. And I would just say this is sort of akin to Marin versus State, which is an unpublished opinion by this court, so it has no precedential value. But in that case, you found that the blood of the intoxication was material, but that the officer was not grossly negligent for failing to collect it, because although he initially believed that he might be intoxicated, there were further indicia that led him to believe, oh no, he's not intoxicated. And that's what we have here. We have an initial belief that, hey, maybe this will be helpful, but when he looks at the fact, when he visibly looks at the vehicle, which Mr. Renfern doesn't do, the airbag does not deploy, and the Chevy's Mazda doesn't, record it, he says, okay, it didn't record anything, and to the extent that it did, it would be duplicative.
All right, thank you, Ms. Helbert. We appreciate your